This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
9:32, it would appear as though we're fixing to get our rain on the South Shore and the West Bank, because they got a lot of gray clouds hovering over the area, so be aware of that. The good news is it should move pretty quickly, and we should be through with it by noon, they're saying, maybe 1 o'clock, and hopefully no heavy rain that causes any kind of street flooding or anything like that. North Shore already got their turn. We're getting ready to talk to Isaac Toops, who is the chef at Toops Meadery and also does a lot of good work in the community. How you doing, Isaac?
Doing great this morning. How are you, man?
I'm all right, sir. Let's talk about this great crawfish controversy before we get to the good work that you guys do. What's going on with this?
Just a good, friendly argument. I love poking people online. Everybody tends to have a good time. There always people get a little upset about different ways to cook things, different ways to cook gumbo, different ways to cook fried chicken, and, of course, different ways to cook crawfish. I grew up using the Lafayette method, and, of course, I'm always going to prefer that method. There's nothing wrong with the New Orleans method. I just love getting people, excited and fired up about the different methods to make. It's all in good fun, but, growing up, the Lafayette method is the ice chest method. I was talking to Donald Link about this in detail, and we prefer that method where after you cook the crawfish, you cook them very briefly in water, and then you dump them in the ice chest, and you layer seasoning and then lemon juice and vinegar over them, and you shake those, and you let them steam for 20 minutes, and the crawfish come out cooked perfectly every time and seasoned just great. Whereas the New Orleans method, you leave them in the water after they're cooked. You let them soak. And sometimes people let them soak for hours. And I think they come out a little overcooked. That being said, I eat New Orleans style crawfish all the time. And I love them both ways. But when I cook them at the house, it's got to be that Cajun Lafayette method.
See, I wanted to ask you about that because my kid lives in North Louisiana in Ruston and doesn't like the way they cook them because I think it's the method that you're talking about. I've lived here all my life. I had no idea that boiling them like we do is just a New Orleans thing. In Lafayette, I started to say Lafayette, but I said like you did, Lafayette, they boil them in just salt water or seasoned water and then do the ice chest thing? Take me through that, Scott.
Yeah, so when you boil in crawfish in the water, they're not picking up any seasoning. Nothing's penetrating them.
Just parboiling. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, so you know, I still season the water, but I don't only season the water for the vegetables. Mm-hmm. So your corn, your potatoes, and everything, your artichokes, your mushrooms, so they're going to pick up that flavor in the water, just like you would salt your water for blanching your green beans in your fine dining restaurant. So when you're blanching in your water, they're not picking up any seasoning whatsoever, the crawfish that they are. So when I season the water, I do that. Again, I just do it for the vegetables. Mm-hmm. But when they go in the ice chest, they start to cool down. So anything you have in the ice chest, being that good seasoning, the lemon juice and the vinegar, they're going to start to suck it up due to thermodynamics. So when you're cooking things, you heat them up, they expand. But when they start to cool down, they start to shrink, and they will absorb any liquid and any seasoning they have that are surrounding them, hence that method.
Osmosis almost, right? For you. Osmosis, I think, is what it is, or not?
Osmosis? Sure. Let's
go with that.
The end of my scientific career right there.
Probably not, but I understand what you're saying about the heat going to the cold attracting the heat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I had no idea. Is that the way they do it around Louisiana, Isaac?
That's the way they do it around.
Let me correct it. Are there more than one way to do it? Wait, let me.
I'm gonna tell you. My father taught me that method years ago, and even he's changed his method. And I don't know a New Orleanian that boils crawfish the same exact way. So mm-hmm. everybody's gonna have slightly different techniques, slightly different ingredients, slightly different cooking times. And you know what? They're all good.
Somebody said it's messy to do it your way, but eating crawfish is messy. I don't know when I've ever had crawfish where it wasn't running down my arms.
Yeah. Anytime you're eating crawfish, I always tell people, like, wear a shirt you don't like. when's the last time you ate crawfish that wasn't messy? Yeah, good point.
So other than those two types, and somebody else wanted to know about the Lafayette method getting all over your fingers, does it make it too spicy or not?
No, not at all. I mean, that's all dependent on how much seasoning you put on. How much heat you want to put in there, that's completely dependent.
And what are you putting on it, Isaac? Are you putting the traditional crawfish boil stuff, liquid, or the shake of powder stuff, or what?
I use no liquid boil. I don't believe in the liquid boil. I don't like the way it tastes.
Okay.
I make my own with equal parts lemon, lime, and white wine vinegar. Just something a little dorky I do. Also, I tend to make my own spice blend. However, I've been known to be lazy and buy it. I like Zatarain's Pro Boil. That's not an endorsement. I don't get paid to say that.
No, I understand.
I just love Zatarain's Pro Boil. I'll go on the record with that.
So, let me ask you one more time about the different ways in Louisiana. Are there two ways to cook it, or are there more than two ways to cook crawfish?
There are more than two ways. I even read in Denmark, they boil them and they soak them in lemon juice and dill. Kind of cocktail shrimp crawfish.
Hmm.
And I've always wanted to try that method. So for every Cajun man and for every New Orleans man and woman, there's going to be slightly different ways. And a lot of people do them a little bit of a combination. I've seen every which way to cook crawfish, and they're almost all good. So the moral of the story is, cook them how you like them. Just eat them.
There you go. I love your story. Everybody's got a story, Isaac. And I want to hear a little bit about yours. You've been named a James Beard Best Chef of the South semifinalist and finalist, and earned some other pretty notable accolades. Tell me how you got into cooking, and where were you born and raised? How did you know you wanted to be?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your chef, etc.
Well, born and raised in Rain, Louisiana, you know.
Frog capital of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, frog capital of the world, you got it. And, you know, I've been cooking since I could see a skillet, literally. You know, my mother and father, brothers and sisters, aunt and uncles, grandparents, everybody cooks. And it's just the way of the tube's life. We talk about dinner at lunch, and we talk about what we're going to eat on the weekend on Monday. And I caught the bug early. But I never really put the two and two together to do it professionally. Mm-hmm. So even though I've been cooking my whole life, cooking professionally wasn't really something I thought of. So after job hopping around my college try, I worked at a printing press. I worked at a TV station. And I said one day, like, hey, let me go try cooking. I mean, just off the cuff, let me go try cooking. And within a week of cooking at a local spot, I fell in love with it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to become a chef. I want to get a cookbook. I have a restaurant and all this. And this is 1 week into cooking at a restaurant in Lafayette. Then I got the bug, so I moved to New Orleans to kind of pursue my culinary career and worked for Emeril Lagasse for 10 years. And really just kind of I put my head down and I cooked and I paid attention and I didn't do too much partying. I did a little partying, but I really just kind of like really honed the craft and really kind of dial it in. And it's just a love of the art, love of the game. And I love to cook. I love to eat. And I love being a dork about it. And I love finding different things to cook and different ways to cook. So really just kind of a passion project, guys. And, you know, opened up a restaurant 13 years ago, and I said, "Waha! Now I'm the chef, and now I'm the owner. I can do whatever I want."
Well, you're doing very well.
Oh my God, I can do whatever I want. That's scary, you know?
No, but it's good. You're doing a lot of good for the community, too. We'll talk about that when we get back. We're talking to Isaac Toops, chef at Toops Meadery, owner of Toops Meadery. They got the Toops Family Foundation. Do a lot of good with that. But somebody texted in. You can answer this when we come back. Should crawfish be purged before boiling? I'd like to know when we return. We're talking to Chef Isaac Toops over at Toops Meadery, 941, 19 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. 947, 13 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Talking to Isaac Toops. Isaac Toops, chef over at Toops Meadery on Carrollton Avenue. And you can just Google Toops Meadery, find out all about them. We're going to talk about the Toops family and mission and what they do, Toops family meal. What's your favorite thing on the menu, Isaac? I'm just curious.
Oh, right now, I really like the venison. The venison setup, I brought that back from Top Chef. Mm-hmm. And it's got a caramelized onion barley. It's got a raspberry mustard on it and a really good roasted garlic puree. It's probably one of my favorite things on the menu right now. But the cracklings and the boudin can't be beat either.
Let's talk about the purge question. You purge crawfish or not?
Of course, but that's a two-tiered answer. And I'll start with the most basic one. If you ever get a sack of crawfish and you just throw them in the water, that's a lot of mud just on the outside of the crawfish. So you got to at least dunk them in several changes of water. I hose them down with the hose. I really get agitated with a stick or with the hands just to stir them up. And I change that water out until the water's clear. And that's just getting the mud off the outside of the crawfish.
Right there
you
with you,
do
Chef.
That.
That's what I do. I don't purge them with salt or anything like that. All I do is wash them off a couple of times, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, and then they're ready to go.
And that's really all I do either. LSU came out with a study that said adding salt water doesn't really do a whole lot of things. I will say that Hawks Crawfish over there in Rain, Louisiana, they purge their crawfish for a couple of days in these giant aquifer tanks. Mm-hmm. And I will say that they put out some of the best crawfish in all of the land. So there might be something to it, but I don't have the time or the presence and the place to purge my crawfish for 3 days.
Do you eat the black thing, Chef?
No, unless the crawfish are really small.
Yeah.
If they're really small, I'll throw them back. But if they're anything, if they're worth picking out, I will pick the black thing out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I had biology in high school. Tell me about Toop's family meal, will you please? Because I admire you, first of all, I'm just a fan of yours. I admire a guy that follows his passion, puts his money where his passion is, and that's what you dig. Because it takes some, you know what, to start your own restaurant and follow your passion, which you did, and now you're giving back to the community. Tell me about Toop's family meal, please.
The Toop's family meal, you know, started really just kind of a knee-jerk reaction during the pandemic. So all those years back when, during the gosh darn pandemic, you know, we had to lay a couple employees off because the restaurant shut down completely. But we kept our managers, and we said, look, we're going to keep the managers. And the few hourly employees, we said, hey, look, come back every day during a family meal, which is just our word for staff meal. We have a staff meal for the lunch service. We have a staff meal for the dinner service. We cook around 8 to 10 employees every day. It's just kind of our normal thing. You get a meal at the restaurant. And I said, hey, look, I'll make a little bit extra. So you come in every day. We'll check in on you. And you can have a meal twice a day. So at least you're eating. Well, they called me up and said, chef, thank you for the meal. But my roommate, he got fired and we don't have any food. I said, well, we'll bring him over. And instead of 10 family meals, I'll cook 15. No big deal. Well, the next day it was 20. The day after that it was 40. And that snowballed into feeding 300 people every day. And we got word of mouth out and social media out. I just heard people were hungry. And I said, to heck with that. No, absolutely not. We're going to feed the people. So I just started cooking. And luckily, my beautiful wife, who's way a lot more intelligent than I am, said, well, we got to get this crowdfunded. And I went, oh, yeah, that's probably a good idea, because we'd have run out of food pretty fast. Mm-hmm. But we had the support of all of our restaurateur friends who were emptying their walk-ins, emptying their freezers. And it was like an episode of Top Chef. Like, I've got beef shanks and lentils and collard greens, and I got 4 hours to feed 300 people. Go. And we make these wacky meals, but these wacky meals would be delicious and hearty, and they would feed you heavily. And, you know, then the COVID lifted up. And then, okay, well, we shelved family meal. And then, you know, last year the funding fell through for some children for their school meals. And said, we said, to heck with that, too. So we started feeding the children during last summer. And, you know, come to find out, 1 in 3 children in the great city of Louisiana, great city of New Orleans, Louisiana, are food insecure. Can you imagine that? Mm. The greatest food city in all of the land, maybe the world, and our children go to bed hungry. That's unacceptable. And so we're doing our part over here with Toop's Family Meal, crowdsourcing, and now we're an honest 501(c). Before, we were just being scrappy and, you know, and we were a pirate ship and shooting down the hunger, but now we've gone semi-professional, and we're taking it as it comes, and we're going to feed all the children that we possibly can.
How do people get involved, Chef, if they want to donate or help out?
Real easy, toopsfamilymeal.com. We're also all over all the social medias, Facebook and Instagram. Real easy to reach out. If you want to donate, you can PayPal or Venmo. If you want to donate your time, every time we have a food drive, we're always looking for drivers. We're looking for people who help package the meals. So anything you can do, we can help. You can help feed the children. Anything you can, anything you will. We don't tell people no, and we take all the help we can get.
Everybody's got a story. Thank you for telling us yours. And I got to ask real quick, not to get, you know, sentimental here or anything, but do you think that there has been something that just led to a convergence of where you are now? Guiding you, something like you said. What made me think of that is when you said Top Chef with throwing ingredients together and preparing a meal with what you had. One thing led to this, led to that, led to the other thing.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not a complicated guy.
Yeah,
I like food, and I like hanging out with the community, and I like having people over for crawfish bowls, and I just can't stand the thought of people going hungry in my house, in my city, in my restaurant. It's not going to happen. I won't sleep until it's done.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And go to Toop's Family Meal, and I'll give you more about that when we come back. 9:54, back in a flash, WWL.